Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
I like fruit. I'll eat it all day. My mom says it keeps the doctor away. I like vegetables. I have them for tea. My mom says they're good for me, even peas. I like meat, fish, and cheese. My mom says they make muscles like these. I like bread, cereals, and rice. My mom says they're starchy, but I think they're nice. I like yogurt and milk at home. My mom says they're good for your bones. I like chocolate and cola for a snack. My mom says they contain too much fat. The doctor advises eat a balanced diet, then you will become a healthy food hero. And that is a poem by Della Barry entitled Healthy Food Hero. And it's how we're going to kick off this episode of HR Oxygen. We're going to be talking about nutrition, specifically if a plant-based diet can give you more energy and lead to greater productivity. And if you're an overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, and underappreciated HR professional, I'm sure you're looking for any edge to get you more fuel in the tank. Our guest today is Kirsten King. She is an expert in plant-based diets. She does a lot of research. She manages a restaurant in Southern California where they serve exclusively vegan dishes. And she's got a lot of great information to share with us on this episode. She'll talk to you about what the plant-based diet really is. She'll talk about the medical impact of it. She'll even give you some great tips on how to prep the food and how to keep on the wagon when you're tempted to jump off and grab that donut. Kirsten joins me via Zencastr, and so without any further delay, let's go ahead and meet our very special guest, Kirsten King. Kirsten King, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mac. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad we could finally get a chance to do this. Kirsten, you and I have known each other for, I guess, a year and a half or so, and we've met through your now husband. And so I didn't realize this about you until much later, and that is that you are really, really serious about nutrition. And so as we were thinking about great guests to have on this podcast, your name came to mind. And so I was wondering, I mean, I've got a ton of questions for you about this routine that you have. But before we get there, I was wondering if you could share something about your journey. You know, how did you become a vegan? How has this impacted your health?
Well, Mac, I'm coming up on my third year being vegan. I was back in college for a couple of years, but I really wasn't doing it the right way. And I went back to eating meat for some time. And now I'm back on the wagon doing it the right way. And eating well. And my husband, he's coming up on his second year. So having a partner who does it with me, that helps a lot too. I didn't go cold turkey at first. I was vegetarian for a while. And then I got over the final hurdle, which was giving up cheese, which is one of my favorite things in the world. So that was very tough. But as soon as I did that, I realized I could manage. After a certain amount of time, your healthy habits become your lifestyle. I went vegan for moral reasons, not necessarily my health. So when I noticed my health improving, I was pleasantly surprised. The first change that I noticed going vegan was definitely a spike in energy levels, believe it or not. Giving up meat had already helped me a lot in that regard, but I really noticed a positive change when I cut out the dairy. The detox is really incredible. I felt cleaner and my digestion improved within the first week. Athletically, also, I saw a major improvement too. Back in high school, I had been diagnosed with hypoglycemia, and I had a lot of trouble controlling my blood sugar during track season. But now I have a lot more sustained energy for endurance sports, and I don't hit the wall like I used to during tough workouts.
So, all right, well, that's interesting about the weight loss. So I'm going to maybe get a little personal here. So your husband, whose formal name is Lyndon King, we just know him as King or the King. I met him as one of the clients at Title Boxing. And King is the sort of guy that you look at him and you do not want to mess with this guy. He can be very intimidating, sweetest guy. But I noticed that he just started dropping an incredible amount of weight. And so did that happen as a result of switching to this diet?
It did in some ways. Also, I think that we just keep each other a bit more accountable. We try to be more active. My weight has always fluctuated my whole life. And I find that when I'm traveling, when I'm working hard, hitting the gym, keeping that momentum going, that I'm at a much healthier weight. It's never really so much about what I'm eating, it's how much. My husband, on the other hand, I saw when he switched to plant-based, he shed some excess weight that was not doing him any favors, but he also put on a lot of muscle. So when you look at him on the scale, he really hasn't lost that much. It just seems like it because he's slimmed and trimmed a lot from going on a plant-based diet. And that definitely is thanks to veganism.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it looks great, which is awesome. Well, you're a very active person, and our audience typically, when they can, they probably try to be active or wish they could be more active, but most of the time they are at work. So how can a plant-based diet improve somebody's workday at the office?
Well, for anyone working a long shift, whether it's an active job like mine, cooking in a kitchen all day, or especially if you're an office worker, if you're sitting at a desk, at a cubicle, what you eat has a huge effect on your work performance and just how comfortable you are overall. So poor digestion is one of the biggest problems. After a heavy lunch, poor digestion can ruin the rest of your workday, as anybody knows. Gas, bloating, everything like that. We actually have weaker stomach acid and a much longer intestinal tract than that of a carnivore. So it can take up to 5 days for a human to digest meat. And that's a fact that a lot of people don't really know, and they don't understand that until they cut that out and see the difference in their digestive system. It's been recorded that people can have undigested food, up to 6 pounds of it, waiting to be eliminated at any point in time. And as undigested food sits in your body, it allows toxins to enter the bloodstream. So that's part of why you feel so fatigued when you're eating a high meat diet. Your body has to use more energy to fuel your digestive system to process your food versus just running basic functions. Another way that it can really help, anti-inflammatory plant foods also promote mental clarity. You have to be mindful to consume plenty of foods rich in omega-3s like algae, flaxseed, and chia, which improve circulation to the brain. So you can take, for example, like a lot of times people are like, well, how can I get those nutrients in a vegan lunch? This is a really easy thing. A simple lunch that you can get practically anywhere, a vegetable sushi roll with a bowl of edamame. Nori provides your omega-3s, and even just one cup of soybeans is over 18 grams of protein, and that's more than a third of your recommended daily protein. Plus, you've got a lot of antioxidants and vitamin K in there. So when you have a high fiber, nutrient-rich lunch like that, you'll feel full longer, and it won't give you that sluggish feeling when you're at work.
So, well, I mean, if I was to decide, because you know me, I'm a meatitarian and pretty yeah. proud of it, and maybe even somewhat militant about it because I love barbecue. But if I was to switch to this, I mean, would I notice an immediate change just in your experience, or would it happen over a few days?
I mean, as far as cutting out like like switching meat?
Like, yeah, because I mean, I'm kind of just fixated on having like 6 pounds of stuff in your digestive tract for a long time.
It's pretty gross. So, that's something that you definitely recognize right away. Everybody's different. Some people might feel tired and hungry their first week being vegan. That's just a matter of they're not adjusting. Being vegan also allows you to eat a lot more, which is part of why I love it, because I love food. When you're eating high calorie, cholesterol filled foods, you can't eat as much. Being vegan, you have high fiber foods. So certain people, it'll affect them differently. For me, I immediately saw a change first couple of days. For sure, being more regular, that was a big thing for me. And that affects you more than you realize. It's a problem. And that's why everyone has to take Metamucil and fiber capsules every morning. And they don't realize why that's happening, and that they don't have to take supplements, that, you know, your body can very easily regulate itself. And then I did see the spike in energy levels very quickly. Within a couple of days, within a week, actually your first month of going vegan is your hardest and your best time. You have the most cravings and the most, oh, I want to eat a cheeseburger, but you also have the best feeling. It's almost, you know, a kind of, you know, very endorphin releasing feeling of really high energy and positive feeling that is really quite unexpected.
Well, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of benefit there. I guess one of my concerns in doing this is, you know, it's easy to throw a tuna fish sandwich in a bag and take it to lunch. And, you know, you get home and you just pop something in the microwave you buy from Costco. So what are some meal prep things that you could suggest for us? Because it sounds like that's where the majority of time you're going to be spending is getting this together.
Absolutely. That's 100% correct. But, well, let's see. I have two rules when it comes to your vegan diet as far as food goes. Number one, you have to cook. It's non-optional. And, you know, back in the day, everyone knew how to go in the kitchen and prepare a simple meal. It's not like that these days. And that's something that we have to get back to. The truth is, it's very easy to learn, and it will actually save you time and money in the long run. You just think about how long you might spend placing orders, waiting for takeout, and sitting in restaurants for overpriced and, quite frankly, sometimes flavorless dishes. If you invest that time and learn to cook yourself, it will benefit you so much more. Second rule is don't deprive yourself. So if every Thursday, say you used to eat a chicken tikka masala from your favorite Indian place, make yourself a veggie version at home and bring it for your lunch. Get over the idea that meat has to be the centerpiece of a meal, and you'll find that all of the flavors you know and love can easily be made plant-based and definitely more nutritious. A lot of people say they don't have time to cook. It's just a matter of making time. If you pick up a great vegan cookbook, like we love Thug Kitchen, my husband uses that one a lot. Pick a day in the week and make a few hearty meals to get you through the week, and some that you can freeze for later. And I'm not talking about rabbit food. Our staples are things like vegan chili. You can put avocado on that, crunchy chips, some vegan cheese. You can freeze it. We love salads with quinoa and roasted tofu, and stuff that's, you know, filling and fills a craving, like tempeh BLT sandwiches. It's a vegan version of a bacon, lettuce, tomato. So making vegan versions of some of my favorite dishes has been a fun hobby for my husband and I, and eating the reward is always worth the time that it takes to make it. If you're in a pinch, I know some people they're like, well, look, I didn't even have time to cook when I was eating meat. It's just not going to happen. If you're in a pinch, there are vegan products out there, and they're great. You just have to make sure you get the right ones. We love Sweet Earth frozen breakfast burritos are fantastic. There are a lot of good products out there. You just have to make sure you're checking your nutritional information on the back. But you do want to be careful to avoid too many processed pre-made foods, because they're usually not as nutritious as homemade, and it can definitely become an expensive habit too.
Yeah, well, I guess the time issue, you're going to be spending less time sitting on the can, so you could just use that time to prep your meals, right?
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. It all balances out.
Well, let's talk about maybe some concerns people would have. So if the doctor says that, you know, maybe a person's anemic or they're not getting enough protein or nutrients, would that be somebody that should even try this diet or should they try to do something different? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I believe that you should always try a diet. I don't want to sit here and tell you don't listen to your doctor, but at the same time, you do have to understand that when it comes to your own nutrition, you have to do a lot of your own research because most physicians undergo little to no nutritional training. And also, you know, a lot of health studies out there, the food pyramid, things like that are actually funded by the meat and dairy industries. So they aren't particularly credible. With that being said, you do have to be extremely mindful that you're getting the right nutrients as you transition. If you have been on a meat diet your entire life and you just switch to veganism without making sure that you're filling the gaps, that, you know, that you're getting a balanced meal, because you do have to balance your meals differently. It's very easy to balance them, but you have a protein that's missing and you have to fill that. So if you're anemic, you can definitely eat plant-based as long as you eat plenty of high iron foods like cooked spinach and whole grains. And I actually just found this out. If you pair those with foods high in vitamin C, it really helps absorption. So you can get plenty of iron. Nobody should ever say, well, I'm anemic, I can't go plant-based. It's entirely possible. Protein deficiencies as well. So they're extremely rare, actually, in the Western world, according to the CDC. And in fact, most adults even get more protein than we need, and that gets converted to fat in your body. The only thing that we can't get from a plant-based diet is B12. And so people might say, oh, well, you can't get B12. Well, there's a very good reason you can't get B12 from a plant-based diet. It's actually a bacteria, and it's washed off of our produce along with other contaminants, E. coli, all that nasty stuff. So the reason that meat eaters get it is they're getting it through the food that the animal they ate consumed. So as a vegan, you do have to take a B12 supplement. That's extremely necessary. If you have a B12 deficiency, it can be very dangerous. So that's the number one thing that I recommend. But with a balanced diet and a B12 supplement, plenty of colorful vegetables and fruit, there's no reason why anyone would lack essential nutrients. I keep things like power foods like ground flaxseed and handfuls of frozen spinach on hand. I just throw them into soups, sauces, smoothies. It's really that simple to get the right nutrients.
And now let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Attention HR professionals and conference planners. Are you looking for a great speaker for your upcoming meetings or conference? Better contact Mac. Do you need someone who can relate to your audience and deliver a top-notch presentation? Better contact Mac. Are you trying to find a speaker who can both educate and entertain? Better contact Mac. Mac Monroe, the Boss Builder, is a sought-after keynote speaker and presenter who would love to present at your next meeting. His most popular topics are how to be a great boss for audiences of managers and executives, how to gain a seat at the table for HR professionals, and how to avoid ending up for all employees. Mac is a phenomenal storyteller, and his talks are lively, entertaining, and loaded with actionable strategies that will enable your attendees to make immediate positive changes. To get more information and book Mac to speak at your next conference or meeting, go online to bettercontactmac.com or call us at 931-221-2988. And now, back to the show.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's some good news if somebody's concerned about it. All right, so we know, I've seen King, for example, lose weight, but can this diet actually help you maintain a healthy weight?
Yes, but with one caveat, it has to be done correctly. I know I told you I went vegan my first time in college. I actually gained weight going vegan, and that's because I lived off of baked potatoes. I didn't know anything about nutrition. I didn't know how to cook. I wasn't cognizant of it. And I just wasn't particularly healthy. So it is possible, but if done correctly. So a lot of times people ask me, like, isn't your diet really restrictive? And in some ways it is, but there's a positive aspect to that in terms of weight loss. We're inundated with unhealthy choices. And going vegan by default helps you eat more fruits and vegetables and avoid processed foods. So you can be extremely unhealthy as a vegan. I was at one point. So don't get me wrong. That's entirely possible. But in general, an average American diet, when switched to plant-based, is way healthier. It's kind of like people who say, oh, I'm losing weight because I cut out gluten. The fact is, you inadvertently cut out bread and processed foods containing gluten. The diet alone was not the difference. You can still be unhealthy as a vegan. You still have to make a conscious effort to avoid junk, no matter what diet you're on. But going vegan does remove a lot of the temptation, like when a coworker brings a dozen donuts into the break room every Wednesday. You know that they're probably not vegan, and I probably can't have them. Many people are able to easily maintain a much healthier weight on a plant-based diet. It's also full of a lot of low-calorie, fiber-rich foods, so you can eat more and you feel fuller. Vegetarians and vegans on average worldwide have much healthier body weight than meat eaters.
Well, what about with disease prevention? Does this help with that?
Definitely. So this has been the big buzz lately. I'm sure you've heard it's becoming pretty common knowledge that there's a direct link between red meat consumption and heart disease, the biggest killer worldwide. As little as 3 ounces of red meat daily can actually increase your mortality rate to 13%. Well, processed meat like hot dogs, ham, you know, just your simple ham sandwich that you're having for lunch, it's increasing your mortality rate by 20%. Type 2 diabetes, prostate cancer, ovarian, colon cancer, they can all be prevented by a vegan diet. An 11-year long running German study concluded that as high as 50% in cancer risk is reduced by following a vegetarian diet. Even diseases you might not think of, like osteoporosis, can be prevented from a vegan diet. So Cornell researchers found that a fully plant-based diet actually improved bone health, which doesn't really seem to make sense to us because we think, oh, milk, calcium. But the truth is that a diet high in meat and dairy, the animal protein actually leached more calcium from the bones than was ingested. So there might even be correlations that we're not even aware of yet. All of the toxic elements that come out of animal agriculture, things like mad cow disease, that are created by these animals being kept in horrible conditions. We've yet to see the long-term effects of mercury poisoning and radiation from fish as global pollution continues. The Fukushima plant, there's a lot of nasty stuff out there, and a lot of it ends up in consumers' bodies that we then ingest. And I think we have yet to see the really long-term effects of that.
Now that makes sense. Kind of a scary thought. Well, let's go back to our intended audience, the HR professional. So how can fostering a culture of plant-based eating be beneficial from an HR perspective?
Well, aside from labor, benefits are your most expensive cost as a business. So when you have plant-based employees, they have lower rates of obesity and chronic illness, which stops them from utilizing medical benefits. That saves money long-term. Company medical expenses have been shown to increase by 12 to 15% annually. With more preventative measures, you can stop costs going up and actually decrease spending. And, you know, when you're talking about a large corporation, that's millions of dollars on the line there. Not to mention, you know, you have the well-being of your workers who will be happier and healthier.
That makes sense. Well, then how could you do this? So what are some ideas you might have that could encourage people to, it pains me to say this, cut their meat consumption and start eating healthier?
Start small and not to be pushy about it. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants some, you know, police officer telling them what they can and can't eat. The best way to do it is to just have these small little incentives. So, for instance, Meatless Monday is becoming a nationwide fad. It's a great idea for the workplace. You can encourage your employees by showing that plant-based eating doesn't have to be boring. You can have a cool vegan food truck come to the office. You can share recipe ideas on the message board. You can start an office herb garden or some fresh veggies. Offer incentives for workers to make healthy commitments and do things like lowering their blood pressure or cholesterol levels. Replace the coffee cake in the break room with a case of like fresh cherries from the farmer's market. You can have non-dairy creamers for the coffee machine, hummus and vegan cream cheese for the bagels. It's stuff like that. As I know, having worked with a lot of non-vegans, those little things mean the world. It's, you know, you're not sitting there eating a carrot stick while everybody else gets to enjoy the spread that the boss has brought in. Stuff like that makes it easier, and it makes people happier. Little changes like that are more conducive to plant-based eating. It makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I have to admit, I follow your Instagram and see the stuff that you cook, and it looks really, really good. So I agree. It wouldn't look like you're being deprived. And
yeah. You're
right. That's what I always picture, is I got to eat carrots while you get donuts. And that's just not fair. But so with that, let's think about this. The audience that's listening today is one that experiences quite a bit of stress. If they want to make this change and make this commitment, how do they keep from falling off the wagon and not following through? Is there anything you can recommend?
It's definitely tough, and you have to be patient with yourself. Within the first few months or the first year, you will slip up, but the trick is to not fully backslide. If you slipped up, you decided you wanted some KFC on the way home and you did that, just say, okay, I did that. I don't think I want to go back to this. I'm going to be good for now. I'm going to try to make it X many number of days without doing that again. And for me, honestly, the first few times I did slip up when I first went, after a while, your body starts rejecting food like that. So if you do fall off the wagon, you say, I really want a junior bacon cheeseburger. You get one. It made me sick. So I realized I can't actually eat like this anymore. And you also have to remember your why. So focus on the reason that you're doing it. And also think of all that's available to you instead of all that isn't. You have all of these incredible choices, all of these things that you can cook. Like I said, I love creating vegan versions of my favorite meat dishes. And people say, well, why don't you just eat vegetables? I'm like, well, because I grew up eating meat and I have these dishes that I love, and being able to make vegan versions of them makes it a lot easier for me to stick with my diet. And that's why a lot of people have that. That's why you have the popularity of Beyond Meat and companies like that, all these meat-based alternatives. For me, my motivation has always been the moral dilemma. It was always that, and then health second. Documentaries like Meet Your Meat and Earthlings, they're just horrific. And they showed me really how terrible animal agriculture really is. Because, but until you see that, it doesn't really fully, you don't fully comprehend what it is. When you're eating meat, it means that you're consuming the pain and suffering of a sentient being. So for so long, I thought that I just had to. That's a part of life. When I freed myself from that guilt and that sorrow, it was a really liberating realization, honestly. I realized, that you can be a chef and you can love food and travel the world, and you don't have to eat dead animals. Like, when you choose to lead a compassionate lifestyle, you cultivate good energy. Plus, you get all this positive reinforcement from the changes in your own body. And also, you see the effects globally of the movement you're a part of. Animal agriculture is the second largest polluter in the world. And when you cut that out, that's the best thing you can do. We're lucky here in Los Angeles to have a big vegan community, and we're able to support each other. But if you live in more rural areas, it can make it a lot harder. The trick is just to remember why you're doing it, even when you face pushback from your peers. The vibrancy of your life will affect your environment and also those around you too, inadvertently, without having to be preachy about it. They'll see that you're living your life and you're happy and you're content, and they'll let you be, and they might even join you.
Well, I have to admit, my only experience with people that talk about this has always been the militant version, and the one that, sort of meat shames you and whatnot. And just hearing about your journey and all the tips you get, this is really good. I'm really thankful you could come on the show and share with us. So, Kirsten, how can my audience reach out to you? How can they get more information? How can they follow you? Because I really want them to see some of the stuff that you put together that I see on Instagram. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, if you would like to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram name is Kirsten, Kirsten_E_King. I post a lot of yummy food and travel photos, and that's a fun way to keep in touch and see what I'm up to. I also have a website. I post occasional recipes, which is a lot of fun. I do a lot of raw cooking as well, so we usually have a raw recipe up at least a couple times a month. If you want to follow me on my website, it's kirstenEKing.com. And yeah, just stay in touch. send me a message through contact form if you have any questions, if you need any help on your vegan journey. I am the kitchen manager of a vegan restaurant in Manhattan Beach. If you're ever in the Los Angeles area, you can stop in and see it. It's called M and Love Cafe, and it's very nutritious, all plant-based, best smoothies in town. Love it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking your valuable time to share with us, Kirsten, and best of luck as you continue your journey and get your message out to the rest of us.
All right. Thank you so much, Mac. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.